This sermon on Ephesians 2, 11-22 was recorded at our Ravenna congregation on Sunday, the 10th of February 2019. It's titled God's Big Church. For more information on Salt Church, visit us online at www.salt.church.
Good morning, everybody. Great to be here with you. If we haven't met before, or you've just forgotten who I am, my name's Mike. I'm part of the ministry team here at Salt Church. It's great that you are here with us too. A very warm welcome if you're visiting. If you've got your Bible, it'd be good to keep that open at Ephesians 2. We're going to work our way through that passage. And hopefully on the inside of your service sheet, there's some room there for you to take some notes, or you might have even brought your series companion with you to take notes in that as well. What I'd really like to do before we do anything else is to pray. So let's talk to our God together, friends. Let's pray. Almighty God, we want to thank you for your word to us, the Bible. And we thank you now that we can come together to hear it to us. Please help us to hear your word, to remember all that Jesus has done for us, that though we once were far away, now we've been brought near because of his blood. Please help me to speak in a way that's clear and interesting, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We had no access to God, but Jesus came to bring us peace. We had no access to God, but Jesus came to bring us peace. Not too far from where I grew up in Western Sydney was a drive-in movie theatre. You all remember drive-in movie theatres, don't you? It was a 15-minute bike ride as a kid, but who keeps track of time when they're a kid anyway? During the day, the drive-in was closed off by a large gate and a big checkpoint. But during operating hours, the checkpoint became the ticket sales booth. Surrounding the drive-in theatre complex was an enormous mesh fence topped with barbed wire. Several signs strategically placed around the fence perimeter clearly read, "Keep out." But I've got to say, for me as a kid, that was like an open invitation. I climbed over that fence. I went under that fence. I went through that fence. There was no guard dogs, no security guards that were active. Over the years, I went through the gate in a car boot, on the back seat of a car, hiding under a blanket. I've never liked restrictions. I still don't. I never liked being denied access to anything. The curtain between business and economy class on the plane, the man standing at the members' gate at the Sydney Cricket Ground, the bouncer checking for ID into a nightclub. I've managed to squeeze my way past all of them. If I forget my password for the internet, I'm immediately looking for other ways to gain access. If I'm locked out of the house, I'm looking for a way to break in. But I grew up in Western Sydney. Some of you here, though, know what real restrictions look like. What it's like to be out of bounds. What it's like to be restricted. What it's like to be off limits. Some of you here may have grown up under apartheid. Some of you with segregation and separation know what it's really like. Some of you know what it's like to be divided. To live in a divided land, to belong to a divided nation, to be a divided people. Look, I think it might be American policy, foreign policy somewhere, it must be written down somewhere in Washington, to build a wall as an attempt to solve our problems of conflict. East and West Germany, North and South Korea, North and South Vietnam, Israel and the West Bank, North and South America. But I want you to come with me this morning to the temple. Not to the temple of Artemis in Ephesus, but to the temple of the Lord God in Jerusalem. Ephesus might be the sacred city of the temple of Artemis, but Jerusalem was the home of the living God. The Lord dwells in his temple, the presence of God, present with his people there. The temple promised by David, built by Solomon, destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, reconstructed by Nehemiah, renovated by Herod. Jerusalem was to be the light to all the nations, but where no foreigners were allowed to enter. I want you to come with me now to a place where we're simply not invited to be in. You see, Jerusalem is not a city with a temple, friends. Jerusalem is a temple that has a city. And as you approach the city of Jerusalem, you can't help but look upwards towards the temple, simply because of its sheer size and prominent location. The temple is everywhere you look in Jerusalem. So come with me now, will you, up these stairs towards the outer court. But we can't go any further. We can't enter into the place of God's blessing. We can't access God's promises or his divine presence. We're simply not allowed. We're simply not welcome. There's a sign there to greet you, and the sign tells you when you get there to go away. Here's what the sign doesn't say. Welcome all visitors to the Holy Temple of Jerusalem. Please enjoy your visit and don't forget to visit our gift shop on the way out. I think that's the sign for the big pineapple. Here's what it actually says. No foreigner may enter within the balustrade around the sanctuary and the enclosure. Whoever is caught, on himself shall he put blame for the death which will ensue. No foreigners allowed. And for all the Australians that are here this morning, friends, that includes us. I mean, death might ensue following a trip to McDonald's, but even they tell you there to have a nice day. The signs are still there, by the way, in Jerusalem, though they're more understated these days. And it wouldn't surprise you, or it shouldn't surprise you, to know that I ignored that sign too. And because of Jesus, so should you. You see, we had no access to God, but Jesus came to bring us peace. If you're just joining us this morning, we're in our third talk on Ephesians in a series called Big Plans. Big plans, because God's got a big plan for everything. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, to bring all things together under the headship of Jesus. That's God's big plan, and God's got a big purpose too. Chapter 2 verse 7, to show off to everyone forever and ever how gracious he is towards us. His one purpose for blessing us with everything in Christ, chapter 2 verse 10, so that we might now walk in the good works of his new creation. God has a big plan for everything. God has a big purpose for everyone. But we had no access to God. Now listen, if you were here with us last week, you were told exactly what God thought of you. It's pretty tough, remember? Chapter 2, verse 1, God says you were dead. A bit harsh, a bit unfair, a slight generalization, perhaps. Well, have a listen to what God says about you now in verse 11. Therefore, remember at that one time, let me try again. Therefore, remember at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. All of this because of where you were born. And Paul doesn't want you to forget it either. Twice he commands us that we remember because we so easily forget. Remember that you were Gentiles. Remember that you were separated from Christ. Of course, it's culturally cringeworthy now, isn't it? You can just imagine the outcry from the civil libertarians protesting their rights outside the temple courts amid shouts of racism and bigotry, amongst discrimination and prejudice. But Paul wants us to remember. He wants the Ephesians to never forget who they once were. And apart from the two people here this morning, if you're not Jewish, Paul wants you to keep this in mind. This is how it was for us. Friends, this is how things actually were. We had no access to God. None. Zero. Zip. Nothing. And the Jews, they mocked us because of it. They called us the circumcision, the uncircumcised. Circumcision was a sign of God's promises, promises that God made to his Old Testament people, his chosen people. But we weren't those people. God didn't choose us. Remember that, says Paul. Literally, though, friends, they called us, literally from the Greek, they called us the foreskin. Not very nice, is it? It's because it's not meant to be. It's meant to feel alienating because we were alienated from God. Do you remember what that was like? Paul says, remember what it was like. Alienated from God's people, alienated from God's blessings, alienated from God's promises. We had no access. No access to God. Don't you forget it, says Paul. See it again, separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship, excluded foreigners to the promises, without hope, without God. We lived by our own determination. We did whatever we pleased. We depended on our own gathered resources, didn't we? An eclectic philosophy of memes and movies and maternal advice. See it again. Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, and godless. Alone in the world with no access to God. Do you remember that? For some of us, it was all those years ago now. For others, it wasn't all that long ago at all. Back when you tried ruling the world, at least your own world, when you took command of every situation that was before you, when you lied to yourself and to others about yourself, when you told everybody how good you were, and even if they weren't listening, you'd tell them anyway. Remember back then, says Paul, we had no access to God, but Jesus came to bring us peace. Jesus brings us peace. Jesus now brings us near. Look there at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It's the second great big but of Ephesians 2. And if you're a Christian, you've got to love big buts. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And now this big but in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were once far off, far away. But now Jesus brings us near. And listen to me very carefully now, friends. Jesus keeps on bringing us near. Every time we pull away from him, no matter how far away you feel from God, no matter how far away you feel like you've gone, the blood of Jesus always brings us near. It brought us near once and for all. We had no access to God, but now we can move into his presence. Not a death sentence that awaits us anymore. Jesus' death paid our death sentence. By his blood, we have access to the living God. We now have unlimited access. We are one with him. The barrier is removed. The wall is knocked over. The temple curtain torn apart. Jesus is our peace. He makes peace and he brings us peace. Look there at verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body, through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Jesus is our peace. He brings unity where there was once division. No longer Jews and Gentiles, two become one. God's bringing everything together under the headship of Jesus. Where there were exclusions and separations, now in Christ there's full access. Where there was hostility and conflict and tension, now in Jesus there's peace. The law that once condemned and separated us from God, look there with me now, look carefully, it's now abolished. Can you see that in the passage? I want you to see in the Bible that word for yourself. I don't want you leaving here this morning thinking this new preacher of ours, he makes stuff up. The law, can you see it, is abolished. The word means nullified, ineffective, set apart. The death of Jesus makes the law ineffective. That's what verse 15 is saying, isn't it? Gentiles don't become Jews. I think that's what some of us think is what happens. Jews don't become Gentiles. We don't swap one set of rules for another. Because God isn't replacing a covenant here, is he? He's making a whole new promise to a whole new people. Two become one. It's like marriage. One new humanity. God creates a new creation in Christ. God makes peace with us through Jesus. So where there was once only conflict, now there's only peace. We're reconciled to each other through Christ, reconciled to God through the cross, by his blood through the cross, through him. You see, God's making a new creation, creating a new humanity, one man, one new man in himself. And this new man, he puts our enmity to death. The word hostility in verse 16 can also be translated as enmity. You've heard that word before, haven't you? Enmity was the curse of the fall. Sin brought enmity between God and his creation, between God and us, between us and each other. But now, in the new creation, through this one man, God's putting our enmity to death. You see, Jesus brings us peace. Look there at verse 17. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Those who were far away were the Gentiles. That's us. Those who were near were Israel. Gentiles were uncircumcised. Israel was circumcised. Gentiles were separated from Christ. Israel was waiting in anticipation of him. Gentiles were excluded from God's people. Israel were included into God's promises. Gentiles had no covenant with God. Israel had all of the promises of the covenant. Gentiles were hopeless. Israel was filled with hope. Gentiles were without God. The people of Israel were the people of God. But for all who were far and all who were near, do you see what Jesus has done? Look there at verse 18. If it's your Bible, you might even want to highlight it. For through him, we both have access to one spirit, in one spirit to the Father. No longer Gentiles and Jews. Both have access to God. No longer two, but one. That's marriage. Chapter 5 will tell us that. Not with access through the law, not with access through the temple, but all with access to the Father, through the Son, by his Spirit. Jesus makes peace. He is our peace. He brings us peace. The Prince of Peace comes to bring us peace, peace with God, so that we can have peaceful access to God and with one another. You see, we had no access to God, but Jesus came to bring us peace. Friends, what we once were, we are now no longer. No longer separated from Christ, no longer foreigners to God, no longer strangers to his people. We're now citizens. We're now God's people. Now we're members of his family. But get this, will you? We're no longer excluded from the temple either, because in Jesus, we are the temple. Look there at verse 21. In whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him also, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You can't get any more access than that. God has unrestricted access to us and us to him. God dwells in us by his Spirit, the ever-present presence of God, now permanently residing in you. All the people of God, now one new man. All the people of God, now God's dwelling place. God is building all of us together. A broken and divided humanity that we were, now united together in Christ. And Jesus is the chief cornerstone. God's people are the temple. And God now dwells in us. The God who once walked with his people in the Garden of Eden, who once lived with his people in a tent in the wilderness, who once dwelt with his people in the temple in Jerusalem, now lives with his people in you, in us, in Robina. Presence of God now in permanent residency within us, full, complete, unrestricted, permanent access. We had no access to God, but Jesus came to bring us peace. But the one command that this whole passage hangs on, the one command in it, the one instruction that's given, the one imperative that everything hangs off is the word remember. I wonder if you noticed it when we worked our way through. Remember that formerly, remember that at one time, remember that you were far away once, but have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. But why does God want us to remember? Why does he command us here in this passage to remember? Well, I think it's because we can so easily forget. It's easy to forget all that God's done for us. Easy to forget all that he's blessed us with all those blessings in chapter 1. Easy to forget that God's Spirit now lives in us. But I want to suggest to you this morning that we need to remember, because though we were once formerly, there's a whole city out there that is still currently your friend, your family, your neighbours and your workmates, Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, godless. We need to remember, friends, because we can so easily forget them. It's easy to forget God's plan for everything when we're enjoying everything that God's given us, isn't it? God's got a big plan for everything. Chapter 1, verse 10, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. All things include all the people, all those people that we've forgotten. All things include all those who currently are without Christ. His purpose is to create one new humanity in himself by his blood through the cross, through him. See, we had no access to him, but Jesus came to bring us peace. Have you forgotten what it is that we need to remember? One Sunday morning at about 7:30, I was at a junior soccer carnival in suburban Rockhampton. I know, right? Who would have thought Rockhampton had suburbs? But it was such a beautiful morning. The dew was on the ground. It was light. The pitch was a vibrant green. It had just been recently cut. The air was fresh, not cold. The sun gently warming my face. The smell of the barbecue had just reached my nostrils. It was a great morning. Lots of kids, loads of families. I wanted to stay and watch my son play his game of football, but I had to be at church in 30 minutes. Honestly, friends, I thought to myself for a moment, why does anyone bother going to church? You ever felt that way on a Sunday morning? Well, of course you do. We live on the Gold Coast. There are 1,000 places that you could be now rather than here with us. But before you leave this morning and head out to one of those 1,000 places, here's what you need to remember. What we're doing here is God's purpose for his new creation. God's creating one new humanity out of all of us. Can you believe it? Should. And that's why it's important that we keep meeting here together. You pray with me. Now, Father, we want to thank you that though we had no access, Jesus came to bring us peace. That though we were once dead in our sins, we've been now made alive with Christ. That though we were once aliens and foreigners and separate from you and your promises, now we've been adopted into your family as sons. We thank you, our great God, that though we were once dead, we can now be made alive. And we ask this morning that we might remember what it is that this passage wants us to remember. Because we so easily forget all of your blessings, all of your promises. Help us, we pray, Heavenly Father, to remember those who are still Christless, stateless, and friendless, hopeless, and godless. Our friends and our family, our neighbours, our workmates who do not know or name the name of Jesus. Help us, Father, to remind them of the good news that we've heard, so that they too might be built together to be your people in whom you dwell. We ask these things in Jesus' name.